Hello from the Global Times. I am Mulan. Welcome to the GT Podcast with Mulan, a one-stop shop for the Global Times take on top China and global news. In today's podcast, Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi's recent wrongful remarks that implied the possibility of armed intervention in the Taiwan Straits have drawn criticism from some senior Japanese political figures and media, according to multiple Japanese media reports. As the 30th United Nations Climate Change Conference, commonly known as COP30, opened Monday local time in Belém, Brazil, Chinese and foreign experts hailed China's solid progress in developing clean energy and promoting global cooperation on climate action to tackle climate challenge. All victims affected by its malicious editing have the right to demand an apology and compensation from the BBC, wrote a Global Times editorial. The story of rescuing snow leopard Lin Xiaozhe is a lens on how China's Sanjiangyuan turns ecological value, responsibility, and potential into results. Jason Ferguson, chairman of the World Professional Billiards and Snooker Association, told the Global Times that China and snooker are a marriage made in heaven. The repercussions of Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi's recent wrongful remarks that implied the possibility of armed intervention in the Taiwan Straits have resonated in Japan, drawing criticism from some senior Japanese political figures and media, according to multiple Japanese media reports. Former Japanese Prime Minister Yukio Hatoyama responded on social media platform X on Tuesday to Takaichi's wrongful remarks, stating that Japan should not interfere in China's internal affairs. He also criticized Takaichi's remarks for clearly stoking a crisis to justify military build-up on X on Saturday. Japan should respect the fact that Taiwan is part of China, he added. During a hearing in the Diet, Japan's legislature on Friday, Takaichi claimed that a Taiwan emergency involving the use of military vessels and military force from the Chinese mainland could constitute a survival-threatening situation for Japan. GG Press reported on Tuesday that Hiroshi Ogushi of the Constitutional Democratic Party of Japan had demanded Takaichi revoke the remarks on Monday at a lower house budget committee. If a survival-threatening situation is recognized, it would lead to a defense mobilization. This is a judgment equivalent to entering a war. And past cabinets have been cautious in making such statements, Ogushi said. Liu Jiangyong, vice dean of the Institute of Modern International Relations at Tsinghua University, told the Global Times on Tuesday that the Japanese politicians and media who expressed opposition against Takaichi's wrongful remarks have stepped forward at this critical moment to voice a just stance. Liu noted that, in the eyes of the peace-loving people of Japan, Takaichi's claims are dangerous and unacceptable. The 30th United Nations Climate Change Conference, commonly known as COP30, opened Monday local time in Belém, Brazil, with the aim of putting the fight against climate change back in the center of international priorities. According to local authorities, the Xinhua News Agency reported on Tuesday. Also on local time Monday, the China Pavilion series of side events kicked off, with the first session focusing on ecological civilization and the practice of building a beautiful China. Chinese Minister of Ecology and Environment Huang Renqiu said in his opening remarks that, as the world faces increasingly severe climate crisis, China's actions to combat climate change will not slow down. Its efforts to promote international cooperation will not weaken, and its pursuit of building a community with a shared future for humanity will not cease, Xinhua reported. Amid waning global confidence in climate action and the retreat of some developed countries, China's path toward a green transition has drawn broad international attention and recognition for its solid progress in developing clean energy and promoting global cooperation on climate action to tackle climate challenge, Chinese and foreign experts said. The British broadcaster BBC has been accused of editing Donald Trump's speech in a documentary that was aired last year. The incident has led to the resignations of two senior bosses, and Trump said he would sue the BBC for $1 billion in damages. When it comes to manipulating footage and malicious editing, the BBC is among the most experienced Western media outlets, said a Global Times editorial on Wednesday. The article pointed out that, in recent years, the BBC has particularly developed a set of politically manipulative narrative tactics in its reporting on China, ranging from using dark filters to create a gloomy mood, to splicing and editing footage to construct emotional conflict. From replacing on-site investigation with anonymous revelations to exporting ideological stance with pseudo-documentary storytelling. All victims affected by its malicious editing have the right to demand an apology and compensation from the BBC, the article noted. The early autumn sun cast golden light across the grass, where glimmers danced on the silver-gray fur. With a sudden leap, snow leopard Lin Xiaozhe pounced toward visitors behind the glass, drawing bursts of laughter. Few could imagine that 6 months earlier, the same animal was a critically ill cub, clinging to life in the Hoxiao region, a high-altitude no-man's land on the Qinghai Xizang Plateau that is home to many wild animals. From near death to new life, its rescue crossed snow lines and time, linking the protection efforts of plateau herders, the dedication of scientific teams, and the strength of institutional support. On the source plateau of the Yangtze, Yellow, and Lanzhang rivers, the commitment to protecting nature has never wavered. The story of rescuing Lin Xiaozhe is a lens on how the region turns ecological value, responsibility, and potential into results. Qi Xinchang, deputy director of the Qinghai Wildlife Rescue and Breeding Center, told the Global Times that the snow leopard is a symbol of purity. It only appears where there's no pollution. Protecting it is protecting our homeland. Few global sports success stories rival the rise of snooker in China. Originally rooted in UK halls, snooker found fertile ground in China after Ding Junhui's 2005 UK Championship win, which massively fueled its growth. Jason Ferguson, chairman of the World Professional Billiards and Snooker Association, or WPBSA, told the Global Times that China and snooker are a marriage made in heaven. It's fantastic to see such big crowds. China and snooker are a marriage made in heaven, Ferguson told the Global Times in an exclusive interview during his visit to Nanjing, East China's Jiangsu province. He was in Nanjing to attend the annual international championship. As one WPBSA report noted, China now hosts nearly one-third of professional ranking events each season, far more than any other country outside the UK. It's really been a great journey working with China, bringing the sport here, but also building it for the people of China, he said. That's all for this edition of the GT Podcast with Mulan. Make sure you follow the Global Times on Twitter and Facebook to stay tuned. You can also check out our podcast, articles, and much more on our website at globaltimes.ca. Thank you for listening.